It's a new week, and last week's announcement of a proposed expansion of Jackson National Life Insurance's headquarters near Lansing has rekindled an interesting discussion, the idea of Lansing as a hub of the insurance industry. Four insurers, auto owners, Jackson National, the Accident Fund, and Farm Bureau Insurance, already employ at least 5,500 people in Lansing or the Lansing area. That's according to LEAP, the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. And the Jackson National plan, if it proceeds, would add about another 1,000. Here to explore the idea of branding Lansing as an insurance center, Prima Civitas founding executive and former Lansing Mayor David Hollister. Hi, David.
Good morning, Mark.
And Dr. Rick Cole is a professor and immediate past chairperson of the Department of Advertising, Public Relations, and Retailing here at Michigan State University's College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences. He had to come down one whole floor to join us here this morning, which makes it really, really convenient. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
And we should also point out that before his current tenure here at Michigan State, Rick spent 15 years as an executive with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and at the Detroit Medical Center. First off, David Hollister, what do you make of Jackson's proposal to expand in Aledin Township? All good or what? What's your takeaway from that?
Win-win, all good, triple A, grand slam. I mean, you can't. It doesn't get any better than this. These are green jobs. These are good jobs. These are local jobs. They can't be exported jobs.
How are they green jobs?
That they are white collar.
Okay.
They're white collar. And
not manufacturing?
Not manufacturing,
yeah.
And it's environmentally pleasing. Based on investment strategies, and the founder, Bob Saltzman, who was there when I was mayor, had an idea of developing this. At one time, Jackson National was down on the south end of Lansing, kind of behind Capital Cadillac, you know, down there off South Pennsylvania.
Well, their data center is still there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's still an operation there.
Yeah.
And he was thinking of moving, and he was thinking about going to Denver when I engaged. And we then began looking at where he would relocate, because he was commuting from California. He was flying every week. He was flying in, spend the week here, and then fly home for the weekend. Mm. And there was an operation in Denver, and he was really thinking about relocating the whole operation when we then began looking at this 425. And the 425 agreement was looking at Aledin Township and their rural green area that was being encroached upon by the expansion of East Lansing. And they were interested, the Aledin folks, in protecting their green space. Bob was interested in an open environmental area where the employees would be able to stroll, and he had a vision of daycare, and he was into the arts, and was really he is a very creative guy. And we had to then convince the Aledin community that this would not be a major detriment to their quality of life out there. And that's when I talk about green jobs. They originally opposed it. When Bob and I went out there the first night to speak to the Aledin Township Board, the place was standing room only. There must have been 125 people there. And they booed us before we even got a chance to speak. They were,
how about that?
And there was actually a recall election on all of the township supervisors who voted to allow this to go in there, because he was promising green jobs, good jobs, expansion, daycare, quality of life. And they said, "Oh, it's too good to be true. We don't believe you." Local township officials had enough courage to go forward based on the vision and the partnership. It was a win for the township, it was a win for the city, and clearly it was a win for Jackson National. And if you go out there, those employees are happy, they're delighted to have those jobs. They got a daycare center right on site. I mean, it's a model employer, and these are good-paying jobs, Mark. And starting jobs for an actuary, starting salary is around $90,000. These are good jobs.
Wow. Okay. As I mentioned, there are at least 5,500 people already working in the insurance sector in and near Lansing. Auto Owners, Accident Fund, Farm Bureau Insurance, among the biggest. Jackson National's proposal would grow the number by about 1,000. Here's what intrigues me most about this. It's great Jackson is growing, but is there a point at which, Rick Cole, the cluster of companies already here might lead to another company, a new company, relocating here?
Oh, well, I think so. And I think, as a matter of fact, you know, we could also add things like Delta Dental Plan and Mesa, the MEA insurance program, and well-established TPAs. It used to be Howard Wires, so WICO. I think they're still in operation here, and third-party administration, insurance administration, things like that. This is a great sector. We've got the university supporting this sector in the sense of providing some of the workers, and we know just today there was a piece in the Lansing State Journal about 600 IT jobs open in the greater Lansing area at this point in time. So what we're going to need to do if we want to get more businesses of this kind in is we're going to have to continue to focus on the educational resources. There's a hidden asset, by the way. Olivet College has I think maybe America's only, I'm sure it's Michigan's only, insurance program. It's aimed directly at producing leadership for the insurance industry.
And they partnered with Cooley Law School to do some interesting stuff and to develop that as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that was a result of a guy named Charles Trubeck, who used to be the regional president of State Farm, getting that going. So I think the big answer to your question is, obviously we can enhance this even more because we have the infrastructure here, as long as we're willing to grow it and expand it.
But when you talk infrastructure, now you're talking educational infrastructure,
right.
Correct?
And quality of life.
Right.
Okay. But it's a different thing from manufacturing. It seems to me we're almost seeing the transformation of the local economy.
Diversification.
Diversification. Yeah. Right. Okay.
But, Mark, when I was mayor, I kept talking about Lansing being second only to Hartford, Connecticut, as far as the number of people involved in insurance. People didn't believe me at the time. It's taken almost 10 years for people to come to the realization that we are right there, and we can compete on a national level for the brain power to come here.
How does Lansing, should Lansing actively promote this insurance sector outside of the area? Rick Cole, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the question is, you know, should this become sort of a regional brand? I think we could say we're actually, in many respects, already the Cadillac of the insurance industry. Mixing the diversification here. We really do have a tremendous base. The thing about branding a community is, and I've been involved in a number of these projects, is it has to be both credible and authentic. It's one thing, but it also has to be. You have to have the resources to continue to grow it. We are. Absolutely, right now, an insurance leader. There's no question about it. Dave recognized that, as he said 10 years ago. He also recognized the importance of having a vital automobile industry. And, you know, I've said this to Dave privately, and I'll say it, and I've said it publicly. If it wasn't for his leadership, I don't think Cadillac and Lansing would have the kind of marriage that it has right now and the kind of productive economic contribution that it's making to this community would just simply wouldn't exist without that kind of leadership.
I think that's pretty well established. I'm curious, what would it take, though, for an insurance or financial services company in Connecticut, let's go right to the heart of the insurance industry or the traditional heart of the insurance industry in the United States, and actually get them to seriously think about coming to mid-Michigan?
I think quality of life is one of those. You know, we got the university, we got the state capital, we got lakes in every direction, and you've got to package it, and then you've got to have the quality training and workforce development strategy in place that's creating, and that's where the university adopting these curriculi that reinforce STEM. And the IT jobs that are related, most of these jobs are IT. And the interesting thing about getting back to these green jobs, they have flex time that people can work at home. They can come in. You know, they don't have regular offices. They've got cubicles that could be might be this part this time and another part of the building another time. So you just got to package that all up and then market the dickens out of it.
Let's talk about the tax breaks and incentives that need to happen. And Dave Hollister, you have a lot of experience in this area. Is 1,000 new jobs so desirable that governments might concede more than they should? Is that possible in this scenario?
I don't think so. First, the incentives have and continue to change, so you need all the tools you can get. We used it strategically on General Motors, as Rick has indicated. I think it's the difference between Lansing and Flint is so dramatic, and we were at that point, 15 years ago or whenever when we faced that challenge. And had we not stepped up and put together the regional strategy and the economic package that included a 425 with Delta Township on the second plant, if we hadn't been creative and innovative and done that, we could be very much facing the same circumstances that Flint faces.
Rick Cole, you spent some years in the insurance industry at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Give us your take on the auto insurance reform debate going on right now.
Well, I wasn't all that deeply involved in the in that, but I think what you have to be concerned about is the possible sort of corruption of the whole idea of insurance. When you start capping the benefits that, in a sense, exclude the most extreme catastrophic cases, you're, in a sense, kind of defeating the purpose of insurance, and you're creating a circumstance that I think is going to result in the government having to step in, which ultimately may turn out to be significantly more expensive than the current model. I'm not sure what people are trying to achieve by saying that once a person's claim reaches a certain level, the insurance company is no longer responsible for it. It doesn't make sense to me personally.
Dr. Rick Cole is professor and immediate past chairperson of the Department of Advertising, Public Relations, and Retailing here at Michigan State. And David Hollister is Prima Civitas founding executive and former mayor of Lansing. Rick and Dave, many thanks.
Thanks, Mark.